episode number 16 with Stephen Daniel. Welcome to In It to Win It. This is Stevie B.
And Dan G.
Dan G. How the hell are you, sir?
I'm pretty good, my homie log. I'm doing okay.
Good, good, good. You getting ready? We got an update for everyone. Daniel's coming down to join Joe and I.
Well, let's get that straight. It was more like, you need to get the hell down here now.
Yeah, exactly.
It was more of a forcible issue.
yes. Like, what are you still doing in California? You need to come to Nicaragua. This place is just too good.
I just have to let go of every possible thing I'm doing right now, which is a lot, and just drop everything and dog kennel and leave. Great. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Like, I have nothing going on in my life, and I'm just going to just leave, which
yeah,
I
let
am.
Me just, let me just drop everything and get down there. It'll be worth it though, man. So a little update. Joe and I have been looking at properties for the last since the last time you and I recorded together, which was probably a month ago.
It's been property mania.
Yeah. And we're looking at places all down in San Juan. The price is really depressed right now down in San Juan because they're highly dependent on tourism. And there hasn't been much tourism. They had a little government coup here, some protests and stuff in 2018. And since then, there hasn't been much tourism. It started to come back, and then boom, COVID hit. And then it's like a tourism ghost town. There's people selling sunglasses to thin air because there's no one there to buy them. So property values, you know, like we looked at one place that was 200 grand, and now they're selling it for 80.
Yeah. Well, I think it was 88 actually, but
you know. Oh yeah. But my point is like everything is just depressed. Every single thing we look at like that, yeah. You know, it used to be a million. Now it's 293.
Like it's half off.
Yeah, a third. Yeah.
it's like a Kmart blue light special going on right now in Nicaragua.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, it looks like you, me and Joe are going to go in on something and, just kind of throw our hat in the market for I think it's a good 5-year bet, maybe 10.
I don't care. I just want to go surf.
You're there for the waves.
I'm going to pop up an Airbnb and go surfing.
Right. Well, you'll be able to do that.
I don't know what you guys want to do. Yeah. I don't know what you guys want to do, but that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. So we'll see. We got one that we looked at here in Esteli. We're back in the cigar town. And,
Steve, how far away, just so people know, how far away is Esteli, the cigar factory town that doesn't rely on tourism, away from the ocean?
San Juan del Sur?
Yeah.
From San Juan del Sur, it's 4.5-5-hour drive.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Distance wise, it's only like, I think like 150 kilometers, but you got to understand the best highway here is the one that we take all the way up there, and it's a 2-lane road with trucks that are doing 20 miles an hour and you got to pass. And it's just like your average speed is like, you know, 25 miles an hour.
I can't wait to drive that at night.
Oh yeah. 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 We'll have a blast with that. So
yeah, might as well just get a case of beer and get on the road.
Yeah. Yeah. So you'll see what it's like when you get out of here. But there's one place that we looked at. You saw the video that I sent you, Daniel, of the one in Esteli. They go by manzanas out here, which one manzana equals 1.74 acres. And he wants 15K for one manzana. So almost two football fields of land for 15K. And he has, when we went there, he said he wanted to sell one manzana. And we're like, oh, I guess it's worth a look. And then by the end of the conversation, he's like, oh, maybe I'll sell up to five. So this guy has a huge amount of land, and from what the people that we're staying with, you know, they kind of know people on the hillside. They're like, the guy's in debt. So it could be a good bailout for him and a good opportunity for us. I don't know. It has a road and it has electricity. Problem is, it doesn't have any water on the property. So we'll have to get a well. And ironically, so I...
Here we go.
What's that?
Here we go.
Yes, here we go.
The dragons and water witchers.
Yeah, so we're getting a couple of water witchers out there in 2 or 3 days. And it's going to be pretty expensive. It's going to be $40 to bus the two of them in and pay them for the day and send them home. At least get them out there and see if there's a pot. If they both point at the same spot, maybe get a third one. I don't know. And see what they say. Do you have any experience with water witchers?
No, only dragons, Steve.
It's dragons. Yeah. After the water witchers here, we're going to have to move on to dragons, and specifically, I guess a baby dragon is what we need. And So I wasn't able to find any baby dragons, but I got, I bought a dragon egg off of a guy.
Of course. What else would you be doing?
It was pretty expensive, but I figured it was worth it. Ironically, you know, you'd think a dragon egg would be really big, you know, like something bigger than an ostrich egg, but it's not. It's actually the exact same size as a chicken egg. He promised me it'll hatch by Monday, and before you get here, we'll have a baby dragon.
Cool, and hopefully water.
Yeah, and hopefully water too. Yeah.
Yeah, with like the wishbone stick.
Yes. Yeah, so a water witcher, I have experience with two of them. It was on my folks' property up in Idaho. They were looking for water in a well. My dad hired two water witchers.
Were they indigenous?
No, they were. I think they were both white.
Okay.
And one guy had a willow stick, and he walked around the property. And when the thing went down, then you know, he said that there's water there. And so he stepped off to the side, and then the willow stick, it's shaped like a Y, you know, and the willow stick.
Forked stick.
Yeah, it's like a forked stick. Yeah. It looks exactly like a Y. And he would step off to the side, and the stick would go up, and then he'd step off over where the spot was where there was water, and the stick would go down. And he kept doing that, and he was counting in increments of, I believe it was 6 or something. And anyways, he found the spot where there's a well now, and so did another guy that used two bent welding rods. And I remember one of them called it down to the foot. He said at 426 feet, that's where you'll hit water.
And that's pretty impressive.
At 426 feet, we hit water. Both of them also said there might be a small vein of water down around 270 feet. And what happened was at 270 feet, we got a bunch of green minerals type stuff that came up, but no water. And then when we hit 426, that same green mineral stuff started coming up again, and we hit water. So my theory, and my dad's was too, is that maybe what they're actually looking for is like that little, whatever that green mineral was, and it's not actually reacting with water, because they both said those two spots. And one guy called it down to the foot.
That's kind of crazy, because there's no science to this whole thing.
No, I now that I'm actually hiring one, I did some Google research, and there's no scientific thing that can back it up. And some articles were saying, like, you know, maybe they've been doing this for so long, and they've seen where water actually is and where it isn't, that subconsciously they're basically just picking the spot. And They with these willow sticks and welding rods, you can make little microscopic movements in your arms and forearms, and it will naturally move them. So
for anybody out there who wants to find some water on their land,
yeah,
a local water witcher. I'm sure Craigslist has a few of them.
yeah, get a water dowser. Yeah, and after that, you're going to need a baby dragon.
Yeah, baby dragon. Yeah. This kind of sounds like a little fantasy land going on right now.
Yeah.
You're so out in the jungle.
We'll see. Monday will be very entertaining. We'll see.
We're going to be doing some like special dances. Like, I mean, are you going to have to feed them?
I don't know. We haven't got into that. But if we do, I can't be more than a couple dollars.
But it's very fascinating. It makes for a good story.
It does. Yeah. It'll be interesting nonetheless. I'll take a video and throw it up on Twitter.
No, you got to take pictures of these guys, man. You gotta video pictures. Yeah, I want to see some like some like indigenous stuff going on here, dude.
Well, the local here where we're staying on this property, she said that they use, I think, a strap of leather, unless I was misunderstanding.
Oh, yeah, of course. Why would
I mean? But she got three people before they bought this place, and all three of them pointed at the same spot where the well is now. So,
oh, wow.
These are some whole... two of those three, one of them is dead. We're getting to do this other place. So, we'll
see. How do you know that he died? Did you tell you me. He died?
Yeah, yeah. She did this 11 years ago, and two of them are still alive. So,
okay. Well, that's a pretty good resource. Then, okay, you know, I can. I'm going in on this whole thing, so I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got a third. You got a third interest in this, bro. So let's see.
Yeah, it's not necessarily an easy sell. I don't know what the water witchers and all.
Oh man, it.
Still yeah, don't know so, what we're doing with it.
You know, when you see it, you'll have an appreciation. There's most of the property is in this wooded area with a bunch of trees that are like 100 years old, and the wood is very, very valuable, and they use it to make furniture.
Great. We're going to be chopping down.
We're going to be in the furniture business, bro. Yeah. We're going to make chairs.
We're going to become... Yeah, we're going to be like those terrible people that like knock down indigenous trees.
Yes. Great. Whitey great. Came in and just destroyed it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh man. I'm not chopping down any old trees, man. If they fall down with the lightning, that's cool. But like, you know,
that's what the guy that does that owns it right now. He said, when they fall down, then I harvest them. He said, but I don't cut any of them.
That's fair. As long
so, as not going I think that's a good way to do it. I mean, if it's in an area where we're going to build a perfect house and there's a couple trees in the way, then cut them down. But as far as like, yeah, I don't have any interest in cutting those things down. It that's what makes the land there in that spot. You know, you're in a forest. And then the other one, another area of land, probably a football field and a half worth, has an amazing view of the city, and it has several like terraced flat spots, that I don't believe are bulldozed. I think they're natural. And, yeah, it'd be a great spot to build whatever we want. Condos, apartments, some kind of business, you know?
No, man, I want a disco club. The White
Tiger.
We could
do that there too. We could do
the White Tiger.
Yeah. If the water dowsers find water. Yeah. Got to get the water witchers in there.
You got to get the water witchers. All right, well, now everybody knows what to do to find water.
Yep. So, interesting. Yeah, but then there's also opportunities in San Juan where, like, you know, you saw the video. It was 0.78 acres, flat land, turnkey, really, because, you know, no house or anything on it. It has water and power at the site. You know,
a little bit more plug and play.
Yeah. And really, and I think the best property on that entire suburb, you know, there's 30 lots there and probably 16 to 18 have full built houses on them. And there's the other 12 or 14 that, you know, are blank lots like this one. And this is the only one. No, this is one of three that are for sale in there. It's the cheapest one. And I think it's the best lot in the whole place. I mean, like, it's got the best view. Like,
ocean view. Road there, you know,
paved road,
utilities, water. Yeah, so, but what is it? I think it's around $80 a square foot to build.
70 square foot to build.
Yeah. So, I was talking to the one guy. So he said it's kind of fluctuates between set. If you're not there, like if you get something built and you're not, you know, you're not there to watch everything, you know, then it goes up to about 100.
Okay.
So, okay. But if you're there, it's like that 70, 80 kind of thing. So
I would have to be there. Like,
yo, yeah, 100.
I would be terrified if, like, I have a friend actually that I used to work with. He's building on 3 acres of land this mansion house. I can't remember how many thousands of square feet it is. His own lap pool. He likes to swim.
Is this your retired
fireman guy? Yeah.
Oh, one in Panama.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that guy with the drone footage. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and he's not there during construction.
Yeah, so that's a little scary.
I couldn't do that. I would want to be there. I'd want to experience it. Make sure that they're actually putting outlets where I want them, and they're not cutting corners by
a
not.
Lot, yeah, they will no. cut corners. People cut corners here in the States all the time if you don't watch them.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. What are they going to do in a third world country?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see how his house turns out when it's done. Then we'll go down and check it out.
Well, he's definitely not leaving his house because it's like 4 hours away from any town.
Yeah. Oh, we got a review.
Oh, that's always nice.
This is from Stinkbug.
Stinkbug, what's up? Yes.
5 stars. Thank you, Stinkbug.
Dude, right on, Stinker Bugs. Loving it, man. That's cool. Thank you.
He says, great show. Stephen Daniel, host of In It to Win It podcast, highlight all aspects of investing and more in this can't-miss podcast. The host and expert guests offer insightful advice and information that is helpful to anyone that listens. So thank you. Thank you, bro. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
Every little bit counts.
Yes, every little bit. Every little bit. You know, I realized since I've been out here, I was kind of like missing some of the news. And so I went on my phone to try to get like local news in America. And the first thing that pops up, and probably the most important thing in when it comes to world events, Kim Kardashian is now a platinum blonde.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think I've been sending you guys little snips of, really important news down there, too.
Yeah, yeah, super important. I want to know how all the celebrities are doing and all the people that I just do not give two shits about.
Yeah, well, you know, Chloe's going, is it Chloe or Courtney is going out with Travis Barker now. So you guys are really missing out on some big stuff going on.
Oh, man. Yeah, that sounds
pretty
important.
Yeah, they're, and just so you know, they're going to be canceling the Kardashian show, or I guess it's ending. So I know you're going to be pretty hurt about that.
Yeah. I'll cry myself to sleep tonight.
Well, you know, just have a few drinks. You know, you'll get through it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll pour one out for the homies and
pour one out for the homies.
Finish the all bottle good. Of wine myself. While I'm just a single tear just goes down my cheek.
Yeah. Smile now, cry later.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you guys are really missing out on some really important stuff going on.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You were telling me you almost killed your aunt with some crackers or tortilla chips or something.
No. I actually have, I have this, they're twins, but they're my godsons.
Okay.
I have no idea why they'd want to make me their godfather, to be completely upfront with you.
That was a drunken decision one night, and they realized after they told you they couldn't take it back.
Yeah, you know what? I think there was definitely something like that. So I'm like, they invited me to their house. They don't invite me often because I guess I'm a little much to handle. But they invited me to their house. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm going to make you guys an appetizer. And, you know, I have to be careful what I make, what's in it. So like, I'm, you know, they got like all these allergies and, you know, like they're just allergic to a lot of things. So I just made this kind of ceviche thing, made sure everything was fine. I know my one good friend, he has some intolerances to, I don't know if it's gluten, but I didn't even know.
Yeah.
I think it was whatever. I had to use corn chips for the dip as opposed to like saltines. So I took the saltines for some people, you know, just the regular crackers, and you dip in this kind of like shrimp avocado ceviche kind of thing that I make, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm covering all my bases. You know, I take the, you know, the corn chips, and then I take the saltines, but they taste better with the saltines. So I said, you know, well, everybody else can have the saltines and he can have the corn chips. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
No big deal. So the boys are at the house and his wife's there. And, you know, this is like one of those, you know, this is like, you know, quintessential little, you know, Saturday evening, little barbecue kind of thing going on, you know, with the family.
Yeah.
And so I show up slightly whirlwind and say, hey, give me a drink. What's going on, guys? The godsons are really happy to see me. I'm like, hey, I made you this really awesome appetizer, and the kids are all excited. And all of a sudden I bring out the chips, and they're like, okay, hey, and for my friend, I won't mention his name, but I'm like, here's the corn chips. Fantastic. He's like, you know, I can have this. This is good. And then all of a sudden, guess what comes out of the bag?
The saltine crackers.
Literally, one of the boys picks up the saltine crackers out of the bag. And all of a sudden, I look over like I brought the devil into the house. I was like, what's going on? Like, everybody's looking at me. They're looking at each other. I'm like,
what am I not seeing?
What am I not seeing? Like, what is going on here? And his wife starts kind of palpitating a little bit. Oh, and then I just hear this, you know, she shouts to the one of the boys, you know what to do. I was like, what the frick is going on here? And I guess she's completely allergic to, I guess, the gluten in the crackers. I don't know. And she's and the boys knew what to do with it. They're like, they had to get a bag and put the saltine crackers in a bag and put them outside. And everybody was like kind of hysterical for 5 minutes. And I literally thought that they were listening to the previous podcast.
Yeah, they're fucking with you.
And they were fucking with me. And this was like some kind of joke. And then like after about 3 or 4 minutes, I realized it's not a joke. Like, this is getting crazy.
They're
like,
so white, and they're so allergic to gluten that they actually have, like, this fire drill prep.
Yes!
To get rid of it.
It was like, it was going to be airborne, and she can't be around it at all. And oh, I was like, wow.
Like, you had just brought the bubonic plague into their house and set it on the counter.
Yeah, I had tuberculosis in a bag, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So was, and he literally like got the, like, you know, just your grocery bag, you know, plastic, got the crackers, put them all in the bag. I mean, they were still in the box, by the way. They weren't even opened yet.
Oh, they weren't even open. You didn't just pour them over a plate or anything.
No, I didn't open them or anything. They're still sealed. Yeah, still sealed. He puts them in a bag, ties it, double knots it, puts a Boy Scout knot on it. And like, you know, is holding it out, you know, completely away from his body and taking it outside. I'm like, is this for real? Like, I completely thought they were messing with me. And then they went into the whole airborne gluten story. And I'm like, hey, man, in Spanish, we say demasiado. It means too much. I'm like, demasiado, dude. I can't. Like, this is a topper. For one thing, it's true. Hope he's not listening. I'm sure he is.
Oh, that's great.
Oh man, I couldn't believe it. Anyways, that's my next level gluten story.
Yeah, you essentially brought a dead baby into there. Right?
I literally, yeah seriously. Oh my God. Well, I won't be doing that again anytime soon.
You know what
soon.
To do.
yeah, he's like, you know what to do. I was like, oh my God, this is like it was rehearsed previously.
It was obviously not the first time they'd done that.
No, it wasn't the first time. They definitely have gone through the motions before because everybody knew what to do.
Yeah, everyone had a job. One person opened the door and stood to the side while he walked out. They have a designated location for all things gluten.
Yeah. Oh, God. There's some high level like gluten stuff going on here.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Serious, man. So anyways, I got through the night. Everything was fine after the gluten was outside of the house.
Oh, you recently invested in a blower, right? A leaf blower?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I've been toying with this for many years because it's like, you know, once, you know, being Latin and buying a leaf blower is kind of a serious deal. It's like your
last name of Garcia, it's pretty much unavoidable.
Yeah, it's unavoidable. So it's like, you know, as soon as you get that leaf blower, it's like done. It's like you got your gardener card. Yeah. You know? you are Jesus now. My savior and my gardener.
I bet it's a lot more efficient though, huh?
You know what? 25 minutes of sweeping the driveway or 5 minutes with a blower.
Yeah. And you can do the patented, just blow it onto your neighbor's lawn.
Oh yeah. That's the beauty of it. It's not my problem anymore.
Yeah. So you essentially take, you know, 50% of one side and blow it onto your neighbor's and 50% of the other and blow it onto theirs. And now your house looks fucking immaculate.
Yeah.
Because they have their leaves plus yours.
Yeah. Oh, not to mention that you get about 10% of it on all the cars parked outside.
Oh, that's also another pro move. Yeah.
Yeah. Completely forgot. I'm like, oh, I'm really dirtying these cars all over.
Luckily, I parked down the street in anticipation of this. They should have known.
Yeah, they should have known, of course. Yeah, but I felt bad. I'm like, oh no. I'm like, because this is my first time blowing.
Yeah.
I'm not like, I don't do this like very often.
Blower, matter
of fact, I think this is the first time I've ever blown. So I'm like, I got kind of, I'm like, is anybody watching? I got dirt on the car. So I'm like trying to like blow down the cars. I'm like making it worse. Like, oh shit. I'm like, I need a t-shirt. This is my first time blowing. Sorry.
You guys should know, like, I'm going to do this once every 2 to 7 days and anticipate the very moment it's going to happen. I don't know why they're parking there.
Dirt. There was kind of dirt, you know, in the driveway as well. Not only leaves. there's like four cars all full of dirt now, and I kind of scurried in the house. Hopefully they didn't see me.
I wonder who did that.
Yeah, I said, like, at least four people coming out, they're going to be pissed. But I wanted to go and blow the dirt off the cars, but I'm like, I'm just gonna make it worse if I'm blowing the cars like in the middle of the street with a blower, you know, and a Mexican hat. I mean, dude, I'm about to get yelled at.
Oh, that's great.
So, but hey, they work. I never realized how well they work.
Yeah.
They should just call them like not my problem anymore machines.
Yeah, exactly. Not in my backyard.
Not in my backyard. Not all day in yours.
Yep. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. How's the Airbnb going?
Oh man. Woo. Yeah. It everybody makes it sound all easy, but no, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I've already booked, you know, for my place here in the States, that is, because I have the other one going in Colombia. But there's just a lot of little things that you have to do. And
okay, we'll go into the one at your house first, and then let's talk about Colombia. So you got a spare room in your house, and you put a little kitchen kind of thing in there, private entrance.
Yeah,
You've already got that one booked, right? And so basically, you're coming down here to Nicaragua here in a few days, and as soon as you leave, you're going to have a girl manage it, and you're going to be renting it out, right?
Correct. Yes.
Perfect. And so she's going to clean, and
yes,
are you managing the bookings, or is she, or both of
no,
you?
No, I'm managing the booking. So, but okay. I she's a co-host for the property.
Okay.
So she has access, you know, to everything. So, you know, and contact information and everything. So since she'll be staying on the premises as well. So, yeah. So,
and she's done the Airbnb game before, right?
This correct. Is correct. She's
Easy Sally that you hired off the corner and,
she didn't drunken Friday night or anything. It wasn't like that. So, yeah. Okay. So she has experience with this. And, matter of fact, she actually taught me, quite, cause there's a lot of, you have to learn the Airbnb, just the GUI interface, how things work,
the software, messaging, the game.
Yeah. You know, and it, you know, just thinks it's not hard, but it just, you just need to know how to do things and just kind of what people like want, you know, and I just, you know, what do I want when I go to a place, you know, I want fresh coffee, want some, my choice of sugar, some creamers and, you know, clean bathroom, obviously, just, you know, just all these, you know, things, and, you know, just trying to make everything as comfortable as possible. So I believe I've done a really good job to this point, but nobody's stayed yet. So, we'll see soon though. So,
but they booked.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. No, it looks, you know, oh, the pictures were really important as well. So it just took some time to, you know, get some good pictures.
Did you take the pictures or did she?
Yeah, I did. I just did them with the iPhone filter and they came out great and I was really happy. Everybody else seems, I mean, it looks really good. So altogether, I'm pretty happy with everything. But again, it's just a lot of like little things, you know, lock boxes and, you know,
keyless entry with the
keyless entries and, you know, all that stuff. So, just getting used to the process as of right now. So far so good, accomplished that. And then the Colombia one should be going online in about two to three weeks. I wish it was next week, but you know, I gotta be realistic since I'm not there.
I think it's pretty cool that while you're going to be down here in Nicaragua, someone's going to be paying you rent and taking care of your B&B in Santa Barbara. You
know? Right?
That's pretty slick. That's pretty slick, dude.
Yeah. I'm just trying to cover my dog kennel costs at this point.
Oh yeah, what are you doing with Chacho? Chacho the vampire dog.
Oh man, well, if I was, well, just kind of FYI for anybody who has like an older dog, if he's like over 16,
or if he happens to be almost 20 years old and somehow he's still alive.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. If he's living on borrowed time. If he only wakes up at like 12, 1 o'clock at night, kind of vampire hour dog. Yeah. Yeah. So I had to have an interview with the vet. They had to call me. Like, it was this I had to wait like 3 days. And, you know, it was like this whole thing that he has to get approved to be in the kennel. And they're you need to bring a t-shirt with your smell on it. And I'm like, Jesus. I told the vet on the phone, I'm like, you know, you're really making me feel like a terrible person for putting him in a kennel for a couple
If you need
weeks,
a
right?
shirt that smells like me, that's wow. Yes. Is he going to be in solitary confinement for 30 days?
No, he's it's a veterinarian clinic, but they actually board dogs, and you know, it's a really nice place, but I'm definitely in the wrong business, cuz they charge like $60 to $80 a day a lot of places.
For a dog.
Like, yeah, minimum $60 a day. So I'm clearly in the wrong.
Well, that's
business.
that's food and his board, right?
No, you have to bring their food.
You got to bring their fucking food.
Oh yeah, you got to bring their food. They don't feed your dog.
Wow.
Yeah, we're definitely in the wrong business. So I think the next podcast we're going to be interviewing dog boarding owners.
Yeah.
Because I need to get in on this game. It's $60 minimum.
Oh god.
A dog.
Well,
I'm like, I don't even need that many dogs.
They probably take them for walks every day and stuff, right?
No, that's extra.
Oh, really?
Yeah, $8 extra
to walk
per playtime. Yeah, there's all these add-on fees, so you can get over $100 real easy.
Wow,
real easy. Yeah. If you want your dog, like, I mean, there's room for them to go out and roam around and everything, but if you want them walked and, you know, like little extra care, you're paying for that.
Wow.
Yeah, it is no joke. I don't know if it's the same in other states, but in California, it's like, you know, I got to open up like a pet hotel.
Dude, and that's for every dog. How many dogs do they have in this place?
They're summertime. I know they're pretty full. I mean, they got to have at least 25 dogs. Like, I mean, I get Chacho groomed at this place called Camp Canine. And yeah, they're 70. Yeah, they're like $70. They're really reasonably priced for getting his nails cut and groomed, and they're really great place. But you know, they're 70. I'm getting a deal.
You must have just recently had him clip, because I don't hear the patented Chacho clicking.
I tell people he's only doing one of two things. Either he's either clicking or he's licking.
Licking.
And if he ain't doing one of those two things, he's asleep. And he's asleep.
I remember you got that little collar on him that is essentially a fart machine that you can control with your phone.
Oh yeah, I do that when I have guests over.
Oh, it's so great. Oh, sounds like the dog is just farting.
So it was just a kind of a prank I pulled. So have we told people about that before?
I don't think we have. No. Where'd you get it on?
You guys were over for Super Bowl, right? Was it the Super Bowl?
That's right. It was Super Bowl. Yeah.
Okay. So I have everybody over for Super Bowl. So I played this prank on my little nephews during Christmas time. I like taped I taped one of these little mini speakers that you get on Amazon for like, I don't know, what are you getting? They're like, I don't know, $10. It's like the smallest speaker. So I like, you know, pretend like I was giving him a hug, and I duct taped a speaker to his back. And then they have like a fart machine app. And so the kid's running around, and then I'm just like kind of controlling it, you know? So everybody thinks the kid's farting all over the place. So anyways, I just upped the ante and I put it around the dog collar when you guys came over for Super Bowl.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Every time you hit it, Chacho looked up at everyone and he was just like, yeah, this isn't funny anymore, but everyone was laughing at him. I think he farted.
But what was funny is everybody in the whole place thinks that the dog's just like farting all over the place, but he's really not.
It was great when your buddy's girlfriend was like, "What are you feeding him? There's really something wrong that you're feeding him."
She was convinced because he was, because, like, yeah, she was convinced that he was, there was something really wrong with him. She's like, what do you feed him? It's not right.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta change his diet. Something's wrong. Yeah. You would just hit the fart machine again. It's not that bad.
I'm like, it doesn't smell.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Good. Yeah, yeah.
Good stuff.
Anyways, it's a good prank for all you out there.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody. It's quite funny. Yeah. You know, when I think he just said, like, that his collar has, like, a little shocker or something if he gets too close to the boundary. Oh, you know, you and I were talking last night, and sorry, I got sidetracked with the Chacho, but back to Airbnb. Yeah. With cash flow. You know, like you were talking about, like, okay, can you buy a house somewhere in the U.S. for $100,000 and get a cash flow of $500 a month?
Yeah, good luck.
Right? Or you could get an Airbnb for under $10,000 down in Colombia and cash flow $500 or $1,000 a month, right?
Oh, over $1,000.
Or over $1,000.
Well, over $1,000, yeah.
Yeah, so kind of go into that. You're cash flow.
Well, the kind of logic, and that's an arbitrage thing. So it's like, instead of buying places, obviously, I mean, I'm not the first person to do this, but, you know, buying a place here in the States, it's like, okay, well, how much am I going to have to spend? You know, if you want, like, investment property cash flow, obviously you don't get, you know, appreciation, but, you know, if you take that ownership on some of these properties, you know, if you find a good sweet place, you know, Honduras, I don't know, Costa Rica, wherever, you know, just take ownership for it, but, you know, kind of have to have your boots on the ground and have a system set up, obviously. But if you can, you know, get all those things in place, you can get a place pretty dirt cheap and get anywhere from $500 upwards of $2,000, you know, per place cash flow, you know, and you don't, I mean, you can take it for a year, it'll pay itself off in about 6 months. Obviously, you know, I've already gone through furnishings and, you know, air conditioners and TVs and, you know, getting everything set up. The calculation as of right now, it's about a 6 month payoff. So in 6 months, give or take a month or two,
then you'll be,
it'll pay for itself. And then after that, you know, it'll be cash flowing in about that time period.
Nice.
Yeah. What? And then if you're able to get more, you get another, let's say, you know, you get that up and up, you're paying those off, you know, two places paying off the other place a lot faster. So, you know, obviously the more you have, the quicker you can get those paid off, you know, and get,
well, if you get this one and then, or I mean, when you get this one, going in 6 months, now you're at even. In another 6 months, then you could buy one free and clear and have two at the same time. That's just cash.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm actually planning on just, you know, maybe jumping the gun. You know, obviously it's a little bit more risk in doing that, but, you know, I'm pretty comfortable with that at the prices that we're able to get them for. So just until it's working and it's booked, I'm comfortable moving on to the second one. So for myself, I'm going to be a little bit more aggressive about it. And because I know that I'm looking at a new building right now, penthouse, overlooking the city, has a gym, infinity pool, everything. And I'm just waiting for them to be completed. So as soon as that happens, I'm going to jump in on that. So I'll give some more details on that as it comes, but that's not until August, September. So I'm going to try to jump in on this, on the next one, you know, before the first one's even paid off. I just need to know that it works.
Yeah.
So
cool. And you got your girl down there doing a lot of the legwork. You got DNL, right?
Yeah, I got DNL working with actually Dane. So shout out to Dane. Dane is actually who I kind of partnered with. He's been a really great resource. So, you know, real like-minded, and he's actually helped me out quite a bit. Just kind of showing me some of the ropes, how he does things, and just kind of following suit with that. And so it looks like it's going to be a really good symbiotic kind of relationship with regards to the Airbnb. So
nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's encouraging.
Yeah. And I'll have more information on, you know, the ins and outs on a lot of this stuff. It's just, you know, this is all in the beginnings right now. So there's a lot of, it's a bit of a learning curve, you know, in the beginning, especially trying to do something internationally as well. Not an easy task. Everything's in Spanish, you know? So it's like, it's a whole different set of circumstances.
Yeah. Well, you've been taking Spanish lessons a couple times a week.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've been pretty diligent. Well, I'm just like, hey man, since, you know, speaking Spanish is fine, you know, and getting by and everything. But when you start doing business, that's a whole nother level, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like a whole new vocabulary almost, you know, so I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It hasn't been easy, but you know, I just have to, you know, just keep pushing through it. So yeah, I'm 2-3 Spanish lessons, a week, just trying to improve, make things better. But for me, it's worth it. And I like learning. So it's, you know, that makes it good.
Nice. Yeah. My Spanish has been getting a lot better just being out here, you know, and, I've had to develop a little bit of a different ear, for Spanish, cause the accent out here is a little bit different. You'll hear it right away. They make their S's and their Z's silent. So they don't say izquierda. They say izquierda.
Okay, right.
You know, they don't say Costco. Like, I'm going to go to Costco. They say Coco.
Oh, yeah.
The S is silent, right?
Yeah, let me get some of that Coco.
Yeah, Coco. Right? It's, unless it's at the beginning of the word. But if it's in the middle or at the end, then they
forget
drop it. Yeah.
Wow, interesting.
So it takes a little bit for your ear to, like, pick that up.
Yeah. Guess we're all about that NECA program, as they say, right? That's what we're on right now.
You know, I think so. I think it's generally speaking, and we've gone over how much inflation is going to go up here over the coming years. And, you know, there's going to be some monetary change, and we're probably going to be off of the American dollar and onto something else. And I think right now it's relatively cheap. Just like silver and gold are relatively cheap, I think land out here is relatively cheap, and they don't see the tidal wave coming. I think we can trade American dollars, which will, you know, in the future be worthless, for physical land. I think it's a great hedge against the upcoming economy. I think it's a great hedge.
Well, it's a depressed market right now as far as real estate's concerned. So I wish it was that way here in the States, but it's not.
You know, it's like James Rickards in the book we talked about, The New Great Depression. He was like, you know, there'll be areas where there's really good real estate buys, and there'll be areas where there's horrible real estate buys, like where you and I live right now is horrible. But down here, I think it's great. I think, you know, we may not be hitting the exact bottom on San Juan. Who knows if there'll be multiple waves of COVID that will extend, you know, keep the tourists out for a while, because it's a pain in the ass to get to this country.
Yes.
With the COVID tests and all that stuff. Maybe we're off by a few years, but if this isn't the exact bottom, it's got to be damn close.
Yeah, no, I'm real comfortable. And just for everybody out there, you know, Steve and myself, and, you know, we've, you know, kind of doing the due diligence, you know, lawyers, you know, multiple real estate agents, walking tons of properties, you know, talking to locals. So, you know, there's been a lot of legwork, you know, that's gone into this. You know, anytime you bring up the word NECA or Nicaragua, you know, all of a sudden people just, oh, political unrest. Oh my God, danger, Will Rogers, you know? So, you know, there's definitely that element, or people definitely, you know, there's kind of a little bit of a negativity, I would say, you know, because of that. But you guys aren't finding any of that.
No, this is the safest Central and South American country that I've personally ever been to.
And you've been to a lot, Steve.
I think I've been to every, no, I haven't been to one of the countries
Bolivia.
In Central America. And I've been to maybe half a dozen in South America. But all of them, this one I feel the safest by far.
Right.
You know, you're not going to get shot or stabbed randomly and then robbed. It's a game like if you leave your you know, your money or something sitting on the table, there'll be a kid that'll come around behind you and distract you, and then his friend will grab it and run away. It's like they, you know, but they're not going to stab you to take your money. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're going to be bleeding out in the street.
No.
It's not going to be like Tijuana or anything, right?
No. I like it a lot here. I think this is the country, dude. I really do.
Yeah.
I've been looking for it for the last 14 years and every time Joe and I travel, and I think I found it for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's I like it.
Stop eating those parrot fish now, Steve.
Yeah.
just so you all know, Steve really wanted a place where he could go spearfishing until I told him that eating parrotfish was bad.
Yeah, they carry some toxin or something like that. What was
it? Yeah, I shouldn't be eating those reef fish, Steve.
But yeah, we'll see. I think we should definitely get something, and especially with three of us, it's less capital investment. You know, only a third risk for each one of us. And something my dad brought up that I hadn't thought of is you know, it's kind of nice having three of us in that two votes always win, you know? So if, you know, it's, you can't have a 50-50 split decision. So, I kind of like that.
Yeah, no, I think it's, I think Nicaragua's, you know, well, I'll just give a little, kind of a backstory, you know, my thoughts. When I was traveling, I used to travel to surf in Costa Rica, you know, years ago, and, you know, plots of land were just dirt cheap. And, you know, beers were 80 cents and coffee, you know, was like 40 cents. And, you know, it was just, you know, it was like Cambodia.
Yeah.
And I knew it at the time, but I just wasn't, you know, I just wasn't there. You know, I didn't capitalize on it.
Yeah.
And it's to me, the Nicaragua, and I'm not the only one to say this. I mean, a lot of people say this, obviously. But you know, it's the next Costa Rica. But I really believe that it is. You know, it has. You know, the surfing's even better. You know, it's just not built yet. You know, so I think a lot of those people that I would say, you know, would, you know, surf and things like that. It's just a new Costa Rica, and the prices are depressed. It's Costa Rica, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, I think you're right, because we met a guy, Hector. We ended up renting the house that he was in. He went off to Mexico. But he initially planned on going to Costa Rica, and so he went there. He's retired. He lives off Social Security. And the first bar he went to, they told him it was $7 for a beer. And he's like, what? You know? And he said he was there, I think, 3 days, and then he came to Nicaragua, and then he went to a bar, and the beer was $1, and he's like, okay, I think this is the spot, and he stayed here for 6 months.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, it used to be, Costa Rica, there's really no price difference between, like, California and Costa Rica. It's crazy, like, the prices. I mean, when I went there the last time, you know, there's people walking around, you know, hey, you know, I think this is a place we should buy this $1 million property. There's like, you know, coffee, Starbucks and Range Rovers. Now it's like, I'm like, what happened to this place? You know?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it when I went back, you know, years later, I was like, wow. So, but you know, you don't really have any of that yet. I'm pretty positive that will happen.
Yes.
In Nicaragua. It's not if, it's more of a when. But, you know, as it stands right now, I think there's some good opportunities there to buy, you know, either land or house or, you know,
And trade currency for something tangible, land.
Yeah, trading, you know, currency for tangible items, you know, like real estate and land. So, but people, I think people are definitely have this a little, like, I would say scared. I don't know if that's the best word to use, but, you know, they're, you know, just because, you know, there's a little political stuff going on there a few years back. But, you know, I kind of equate it to, like, you know, Cancun, which I believe is pretty much owned by, like, all cartels, right? It's like cartel money. You know, they don't really mess with the tourists. That's their money. That's like bread and butter, right?
Yeah.
Like Nicaragua, you have tourism and you got cigars.
Yeah.
So, you know,
The waves out here down in San Juan del Sur. So now when this is laid out, like, there's San Juan del Sur, that's the main town, and it's kind of in a cove. There's no waves there. There's just a bunch of boats that park out, and it's a very calm place. You can go swimming if you want, or spearfishing. Then you go one cove north, and there's another little beach, and it has an undeveloped community. There may be one like hotel up on the hill and a couple houses here and there, but that's about it. And then you go one cove north of that, and it's even more sparse, and there may not even be a bar selling beer on this giant cove of a beach, yeah, you know, that goes for a mile. And there's just, you know, locals that kind of live a little ways away from the beach, but there's no business or nothing. And then you go north of that, and then the road stops, you know, and you go south, and it's the same story. So each one of these coves, north and south of San Juan del Sur, we saw them all, are beautiful. And they, yeah, have these amazing surfing waves, and there's no one there surfing. And I'm, yeah, like, it's only a matter of time before that changes. And whether, yeah, that's 10 absolutely years or whether it's two, I don't see how, you know, it's going to have to be something weird for us to not win on this one. You know what I,
yeah,
mean?
I agree.
It's
going to
be something effed up with the paperwork that the lawyer didn't find or something. And you know, worst case scenario, we lose it. Well, it's not the end of the world because, you know, okay, fine. But I think that chance is relatively low.
Yeah, I like my odds.
I like mine too. I really do.
Yeah. So
I think we're north of 80-90%.
Yeah. And for everybody out there as well, you know, buying property, it's really out there. I mean, you don't have to be, you can buy property. It's easy, you know, the lawyer, I mean, so, you know, get, you know, lawyer, real estate agent. It's the process is, you know, it's held in what's called, I believe it's a fee simple property.
Oh, where you pay the lawyer 10% and then they hold,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, so basically, and also too, Steve, the deposit. So when you first get, it's 10%. 10% deposit you need to put down. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have about a month or two to fill in the rest of the money, and then transferring the money doesn't seem to be too much of a, you know, it's pretty much like the States, you know, yeah, from everything that I'm seeing so far. It's not that difficult. There's not like, I mean, I'll put it to
you
this way.
We're not the first ones to do it. Another thing, other than just looking at properties, Joe and I have been building this network of people that have already done what we want to do. And so we can get advice all along the way. And, yeah, you know, it seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it does seem very straightforward. Just right up. And let me just make a note. I would probably never buy property in like Colombia because there's just a whole set of weird stuff going on there.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
100% I would buy in Nicaragua. Yeah. And I'm not saying, I've just heard like Colombia, I'm just saying just because I'm down there, but it's just so many like variables and greasing people and like there's just, you know. Oh yeah, by the way, like I had to grease the administration building where I'm doing my Airbnb, so that's part of the
so
process as well.
You.
Yeah, so they no, everybody's in on it.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
they just want their $10 a month or whatever it is.
so we have a whole system where we actually got to grease the guards and, you know, just the little things. And like, you know, so it is, hey, it is what it is. As long as it turns that dollar. Nothing illegal, though. Nothing illegal, guys. It's all legal. It's just, yeah, I would 100% feel comfortable purchasing in Nicaragua, but definitely I would have some serious concerns about anything I would buy in Colombia.
Okay. Good advice. Yeah. Good advice.
Yeah. Just rent over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got a pretty good idea of which ones I think are the best, and I'm anxious for you to get down here and see them. And,
well, I am working on it.
You have a mind for that, you know, and you're very good with, you know, once the place is built, interior decorating. Jesus, like your house in Santa Barbara is just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's kind of.
But also,
yeah,
just having an eye for that stuff, you know, like I know you'll look at it and you'll just be like, okay, this needs to be Spanish style. It's going to be terraced right here. You know what I mean? Like that's yeah, where your strength is really.
The stripper pole will go here.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. The infinity pool right there. Yeah.
I got it. Spa, mud room, steam, yeah, room. Yeah, it's all good. I got it. No problem. Easy. Eyes
dragon
closed.
Eggs. Dragon eggs.
Dragon eggs.
Area.
Yeah, yeah. Water witcher hub. Plant some gnomes in the back. It's all good, Steve.
Yes, yes. Right on.
So this is all kind of a work in progress. So yeah, just more information as things go along the way, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it, I think that's about everything. That's
so if you want to retire, basically, if you want to retire on your Social Security, you have nothing else, and you live in the States, Nicaragua is not a bad option.
Oh, there's a lot of guys here that through probably poor planning, all they have is Social Security, and they're getting, through poor financial planning, all they're getting is...
Well, you mean their non-existent financial planning.
Oh my God, that's going to be worth nothing here in 5 to 10 years. $1,400 to $1,700, and they rent a little two-bedroom apartment.
You told me, what's the story, Steve? You guys met a gentleman out there who came from the States, and he has a girlfriend, and she has four kids. Are they his or niece?
No, they're all hers. Yeah,
they're all her kids. All her kids. So yeah. This gentleman moved from the United States, got a girlfriend with
a wife. Four, they're married.
A wife with mm-hmm. four, five kids. I'm sorry, five kids.
It's either four or five. It's not less than.
Does it really matter after three?
It's four or more. Yeah.
Okay, at least four kids.
Yes.
Supports them all.
Yes.
And smokes good cigars every day.
Yeah, he has a 100 cigar a month habit.
Like these are, I mean, here in the States, they would be what, like $30-$40 each, right?
I would say between 20 and 35. So yeah, okay. Ballpark, yeah.
Okay, yeah. He probably, you know, hangs out, does what he wants, eats when he wants. And
he goes out to lunch every day to the same coffee shop. Where coffee is 15 cords, so that works out to be about 40 cents a cup of coffee. If you want lunch, it's about $1.50, and that's like a tuna sandwich. Or I got this bomber-ass salad. It was the most expensive thing on the menu, and it was, I think, $3.12 or something. It was
mind blow.
It's almost free. I mean, I literally think I'm saving money by being here because you just don't spend any. I mean, you go out and just bottle service, $12. You know, it's unbelievable.
So, yeah. So someone who is anybody listening out there, I guess, right? Like if you're down and out, you're not necessarily down and out, but if you did no planning whatsoever, you're ready to like, hey, it's just too expensive here in the States. And you have like $1,500 a month on Social Security. Like you could actually live pretty good in Nicaragua.
Yeah. Yeah, you could.
Yeah. You could. Just don't be the guy and get five kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I just don't know why you'd want to step into that program, but that's a whole nother Oprah.
To each his own.
To each his own. Different strokes, different folks.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. So but that's pretty amazing though that someone could do that, you know? Like
I think it's amazing that it's even possible. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I who would have thunk?
No, who would have thunk it? Yeah. He has a car, a couple motorbikes.
I'll wow. This is like, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it's totally doable. But anyways, I'm going to get going, I think, to wrap it up. But
he's got to go attend to his water witchers.
Yes.
He's got to go feed them. It's a working
vacation.
Yeah, it's a workation.
Yes. But yeah, I think this was a good episode. I'm anxious to do one with you live while we're both down here.
I'll be drunk, by the way, but Steve might be sober. I can almost guarantee I will have something in my system.
Right on. Cool. Well, thanks. Cool. Thanks, Daniel. This was fun. And thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. I got a motivational speech here that is, I came across, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it's a little bit longer, but I like it a lot, and I hope you do too. So thanks for tuning in. Here is your weekly motivational speech.
I'm here to talk about success. The first rule of success is to have a vision. You see, if you don't have a vision of where you go, and if you don't have a goal where you go, you drift around and you never end up anywhere. I mean, as you know, I was born in 1947 in Austria after the Second World War. So I was very fortunate that I stumbled onto my vision. And I didn't really like Austria when I grew up. I couldn't wait to get out of there. I couldn't see myself becoming a farmer or a worker in a factory or anything like that. Even though my parents wanted me to stay there and have a normal life. But that was their vision, not mine. My vision was totally different. I felt that I was born for something special, for something unique, for something big. Then one day I went to school. I remember I was 11 years old. And they showed a documentary about America. And there they showed in this documentary the huge skyscrapers, the high rises, the huge bridges, the six-lane freeways, and all of this stuff. And I said to myself, that's where I want to be. I don't want to be around here with these little farmhouses and these little buildings. I want to be in America. One day after school, I walked by a store in Graz. So I went inside and I looked around and then I saw a magazine. I saw a bodybuilding magazine that had Reg Park on the cover. Reg Park was then a three-time Mr. Universe. And I saw him on the big screen as Hercules. I read that and I said to myself, wow, this is the blueprint for my life. This is exactly what I want to do. I want to become a bodybuilding champion just like Reg Park. I want to get into movies just like Reg Park. And I want to make millions of dollars and be rich and famous just like Reg Park. Do you know how great it felt that I knew where I was going? Imagine the majority of people don't know where they're going. I knew where I was going, that I'm going to become this bodybuilding champion just like him. So it was just a question of how do you do it? I was so relieved because when you have a goal, when you have a vision, everything becomes easy. So people always ask me when they saw me in the gym in the pumping iron days, they say, why is it that you're working out so hard? 5 hours a day, 6 hours a day, and you have always a smile on your face. And I told people all the time, I said, because to me, I'm shooting for a goal. In front of me is the Mr. Universe title. So every rep that I do gets me closer to accomplishing that goal, to make this goal, this vision turn into reality. Every single set that I do, every repetition, every weight that I lift will get me a step closer to turn this goal into reality. So I couldn't wait to do another 500 pound squat. I couldn't wait to do another 500 pound bench press. I couldn't wait to do another 2000 reps of sit-ups. I couldn't wait for the next exercise. At the age of 20, I went to London and I won the Mr. Universe contest as the youngest Mr. Universe ever. And it was because I had a goal. So let me tell you something, visualizing your goal and going after it makes it fun. You got to have a purpose no matter what you do in life. You got to have a purpose. 74% hate their job in America. Now, this is not much different when you come to Europe. The majority of people don't like what they're doing, because they're really not doing it because they didn't have a goal and they followed this goal. They just aimlessly drift around and then all of a sudden there's a job opening, so they get that job because you have to work. But then when you work, it's a chore. It's work. It's not fun. So if you think about only a quarter of the people really enjoy what they're doing in life, that is unbelievable if you think about it. So I felt so blessed that I knew what I was doing. It's like a medical student that studies and knows he wants to become a doctor. You know where to go. And the same thing is also in politics. I remember that in politics, I had a very clear vision that I will be the leader of California. That's as far as I could go because I was not born in America, so I could not run for president. So being the governor of the fifth largest state, the fifth largest economy in the world, was for me really the ultimate title, the ultimate accomplishment in politics. So even though people came up to me and says, why don't you go and run for something smaller? You're never gonna make it. I ran for governor and then 2 months later, I became governor of the state of California. Again, because I had a very clear vision what I'm gonna do with California. So that's rule number one, have a vision. Rule number two is don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to the naysayers. everything I ever did, the thing that I heard out of people's mouth was, that's impossible. That can't be done. Oh no. That is exactly what I heard. And of course, I proved to the people that it can't be done. So whenever someone said to me, it can't be done, I heard, it can be done. When they said no, I heard yes. And when they said it's impossible, I heard, it is possible. I'm a strong believer of what Nelson Mandela said, that everything is always impossible until someone does it. Well, I'm going to be the one, I said to myself, I'm going to do it and I'm going to show it to them. Maybe it has never been done before. That's perfectly fine with me. But I'm going to do it. And I did not listen to the naysayers. It's all about the hard work that you put in. I said to myself, in bodybuilding, I worked out 5-6 hours a day. I'm going to do the same thing now for acting. And of course, I went to college to study English. I studied the accent removal, acting classes, and all of this stuff all day long. I worked and I worked and I worked. And within a short period of time, I made one movie called Hercules in New York, which of course went right into the toilet. But it didn't discourage me. I still had the same vision. And then all of a sudden I did Streets of San Francisco. I did Stay Hungry and Pumping Iron and The Villain. And then all of a sudden I was asked by Dino De Laurentiis and by Universal Studio to star in Conan the Barbarian. And after I did Conan the Barbarian, the director at the press conference said to the press, the director was John Milius. He said to the press, if we wouldn't have had Arnold, we would have had to build one. So think about that. The very body that they said can never be sold because the time is wrong. A few years later, I'm doing Conan the Barbarian, and it was the number one hit at the box office when it came out in the summer of 82. Think about that. And the director says, if we wouldn't have had his body, we would have had to build one. So all of a sudden, my body became an asset, not a liability. And the same thing was with Terminator. After we were finished filming Terminator, Jim Cameron said to the press, if Arnold wouldn't have had that accent and talked like a machine, I think the movie wouldn't have worked. So think about that. The body and the accent that they attacked was an asset. But I didn't listen to those losers. I didn't listen to them at all. It's just the reality of it is that you cannot listen to the naysayers. So this is a very important lesson for all of you. So when someone says, no, this is a stupid idea, you in your mind, you don't have to say it, but in your mind, just say this, you asshole. What do you know?